You are listening to Artbeat on RTRFM 92.1. I'm Beck Bowman. I'm going to be with you until 12 o'clock this afternoon, talking all things arts and culture in WA, one of the repositories for the history of arts and culture in WA is the State Library of Western Australia. And we are very, very lucky today to have Adam Trainor join us in the studio. He's a community engagement officer for WA Music at the State Library of WA. That is a very long job title. We're also joined by Jocelyn Myberg, who is the founder of Tonelist, which is a new music experimental music record label here in Boorloo. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Beck.
We had to, and I mean, this happens quite a lot, I'm not going to lie, but we just had to cut a conversation short so that we could go to air and, you know, do what we're here to do, which is have a chat about what's happening and what you are up to. Adam, in particular, what you've been up to is relaunching the WA New Music Archive. What does that mean? Are we talking about new music as in, like, all new music, contemporary music, or are we talking specifically, because Justin's here, experimental kind of tracks?
Yes, the latter.
The latter.
But that also encompasses lots and lots of different creative practice. So the West Australian New Music Archive was originally conceptualised by Lindsay Vickery at the turn of the millennium. He had this idea as, music was starting to become digital and less tethered to physical carriers. He had the idea that, well, maybe we can capture some of this digital information and create a repository for a particular community. And so that idea sort of kicked around for a little while and lay dormant for some time. And then Kat Hope, who was at Whopper at the time in 2013, sort of reinvigorated it. And she brought Tura New Music in as a partner on this project and the State Library as well. And so collaboratively, we built this thing called the West Australian New Music Archive, which is a web portal that houses a bunch of collection materials. So they're all born digital. So as opposed to the State Library's collections, which might be dusty books on shelves or bits of papers, shut away in drawers, this is all digital material that relates to the history and heritage of new music practice, experimental music practice in WA. And so, yeah, we launched it in 2015. It's been sort of ticking along, and we thought it was time for a bit of an upgrade and a bit of a spit and shine and polish.
Bit of WA New Music Archive 2.0.
Yeah, that's right. So that's what we're doing on Sunday. We'll be relaunching and basically, yeah, the new version of the portal will go live, and we'll have some new material to celebrate and for people to check out. And we'll have this incredible performance at the State Library.
So Lindsay Vickery, patron saint of experimental music in WA, recognised that, we kind of have this, like, laissez-faire approach to stuff that's on the internet. We think that if it's digital, it's just going to last forever, and we don't really have to do anything in terms of archiving, in terms of organising it. And it sounds like he was a bit of a visionary there as well, recognising that actually we do need to do something and collate it. How do you go about creating a digital archive?
Yeah, well, the first point that you made is a really, really valid one. And when I talk to people,
Lindsay Vickery, patron saint.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, that too. Yeah, for sure. But this idea that digital information and digital archives or that the stuff that we need to actually archive in some formal way can be super ephemeral. And the point that I always sort of make to people when I'm asking them, can the State Library please have your stuff, is think about, when YouTube or Bandcamp, for example, goes the way of MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
Are these platforms going to be there forever? Because that one wasn't. So that's really what libraries and archives are there for. So how do we archive it? Well, I mean, they're all digital files, so we can get them in a multitude of different ways as long as we actually get them. The important thing with libraries is that if you want to do something with it, if we want to actually then put it online as part of the OneMar web portal, we need to get permission from the people who made it. And so, yeah, we also need the we need to know what it is. Like any object in a library or an archive, we need some description of it. So we need to know, you know, basic things like when it was made, what is it, what's it about, you know, who created it, who's part of it, when is it from, and what's the context. So, yeah, when we're talking to donors for material to come into any collection in the library, we need that information. But that's just as important when you're talking about digital material, and just as important when you're talking about material that's going into Wanma to represent the history of a creative community.
Because it is very much the history of a community here in Boorloo. The experimental music scene is very alive and well. That kind of performance community is... there's such a vibrancy about it. Justin, you are kind of, I guess, instrumental in... I was just going to point out if that was a pun, but you are instrumental in propelling this community forward, really. You have created Tonelist, which is such a supporter both of the recordings but also of events such as this one celebrating the 2.0 of Wanma at the State Library. What can we expect from that performance?
So, Wanma and Adam kindly approached us to curate the event to relaunch the show, and this is something we've done with a few organisations in Boorloo in the last year or two. Especially, I should also add that Tonelist is me, but it's also Annika Moses and Dan O'Connor and Jamison Feeks and Lenny Jacobs. It's a team effort. It's a community effort, which is really important to the way that we operate. And I suppose it's an interesting challenge when you're asked to curate something that's sort of meant to be like representative of a cross section of different practices in this place, some of which might have very, you know, we can think of the experimental music scene as one big homogenous pool with lots of different people in it who all know each other and get along, and by and large it is, but there are a lot of really distinct practices in that, some of mm-hmm. which some of which rarely cross over, and so this program, you know, it has a some of the artists performing on this program are doing some of their earliest performances in their career. They're really emerging artists. Some of them have no university education at all, whereas others have PhDs or DMAs in music. Some of them teach in university departments, musical departments, and others have day jobs, you know. So there's a real... it was really interesting to try and gather a lineup that... wasn't just about representing what's going on in the scene, but also about just being part of that ongoing evolution and forward movement of the scene, creating new space for dialogues and exchange, new collaborations. So we have a performance by Annika Moses and Akila, which is kind of like a experimental turntablism set. That'll be followed by a percussion and bass clarinet duo by Thea Rossen and Ashley Smith. There's a solo on a self-made instrument by Nicholas Kyriakassis. And to finish, there's a duo between the beloved Sage and Eduardo Cossio, who are two kind of figureheads of the improvised music scene in Boorloo. And Leah T will also be DJing at the start and the end of the event, playing a mixture of other people's music and also her own work. So in that, I guess, yeah, really tried to make sure there was some representation or presence of emerging composers, emerging interdisciplinary artists, established new music practitioners, established experimental music practitioners, and left field artists from pop music and club music and electronic music.
And because Ashley Smith is, if we're talking about the same Ashley Smith, is clarinet for Wasso.
I believe so, yeah. He's also the head of woodwinds at UWA.
Yeah, and Thea Rossen, obviously, percussionist extraordinaire. So also bringing in this classical world as well, that sometimes, I guess, is contemporary classical, but sometimes goes off into experimental sounds. I do just need to know, Justin, what is turntablism?
Oh, turntablism would mean... I guess it's, if I understand it right, DJing can be included as part of turntablism. It's a way of making sound using, or making music using turntables, creative expression using turntables. But then the term more broadly might mean practicing experimentally with turntables, so thinking creatively about like what kind of weird things that you can do. I did see on Akila's Instagram feed, they had a Boys to Men CD sitting on a turntable to make a kind of white noise. So that'll probably happen.
I did see that as well. Yeah.
But yes, it could also mean using contact mics on turntables or cutting your own records to make records that have more experimental textures on them, or you know, what have you. So yeah, lots of different approaches at the concert. And I also like this. I mean, I think about this term agonism a lot, where you have like, and maybe the archive represents this as well, where you have approaches that maybe have nothing to do with each other, or maybe even are in conflict. You know, one person who is really refining their approach to their instrument, whereas another person is really about breaking it open and exploring different possibilities in it. But the fact that those two approaches can coexist and rub up against each other in really generative ways is something that I get really excited about. So I'm hoping this event speaks to that a bit.
And I can see it in your face.
I should also add that Adam really prompted that it was an exploration of the library space as well. So each performance is in a different space and there are no breaks between the performances. They all overlap, which is something I borrowed from Noise Machines, a concert series that is still going, but in its early days, there were no gaps between sets. Everyone had to learn how to segue into one another. So that's what's happening at this night. It's an hour straight of music and you kind of journey through it in a way that feels good to you.
One of the ways that we like to think about it is actually using the library, the space itself, as part of, you know, it's integral to the performance. And if you've been in the State Library space, we have these big balconies and balcony and a stairwell in the middle of the public space there. And it really has incredible acoustics. When you get some sound humming in that space, it travels up the levels really, really beautifully. And so we're looking forward to using the natural acoustics of the space.
And then that music that's being played becomes part of the history of the building as well, that houses the archives. There's this lovely kind of synchronicity about all of that. Adam Josden, thank you so much for coming and talking to us about this event. When is it happening?
Yeah, it's Sunday evening, so it kicks off at doors at 6:30, and we'll run for a couple of hours. There's half an hour of Leah T, an hour of music, and then another half an hour of Leah T for people to just kind of chill before and after. I should mention that it's completely free. But we do recommend that people make bookings, and we are actually almost at capacity. So we've capped it at 250, and we're edging very, very close to that, actually. So if you're interested, then I would head to the State Library website, and you can click through to book yourself in for Hidden Centres on Sunday at State Library.
Get on it.